Hey, y'all, welcome to the Marty Smith's America podcast. This is volume 100-something, and it is a killer show today with Georgia Tech head football coach Jeff Collins, someone I've come to know pretty well here over the last year or so. I covered a bunch of their games last year. I covered them against Notre Dame, Central Florida, Clemson, and I think there might have been one more. I was in Atlanta a lot last season because I could drive there. And this dude's spirit, this dude's energy, this dude's passion is infectious. It is palpable. It infuses you. And so we wanted to get him on here and just rap about the growth, explosive growth of his program, how he's doing it, his path to now, and what comes with such a diverse career, what comes with getting the job that you've wanted since you were 5 years old in your hometown, what comes with immersing yourself in the culture of one of the most authentic cities in the South, all of those things. And so it is a fascinating conversation. You're going to learn a lot. Coach Collins is a great dude. Man, that guy's passionate. So buckle it up tight. Here is Jeff Collins, head football coach at Georgia Tech on Marty Smith's America. All right, I want to start with a moment I'll forever cherish. It's during COVID. I've been assigned to UCF at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. I've never met Jeff Collins. So I get on this weekly media Zoom call he does, and I just listen. Eventually, much to the chagrin of the Daily Beat guys down there, I inquire about the 404. This man goes off. He's pointing over here towards Conyers, the hospital he was born in. Oh, there's the Waffle House Grandpa took him to, whatever. It was really something, but it told me a lot about this man's passion and perspective, about how he's willing to be vulnerable enough to control the controllables, kindness, effort, passion, respect. So I want to start right there, Coach, with that attitude, that intensity, that kind of philosophical approach to life. How was that honed for you?
I mean, it was, I guess, upbringing. I got a lot of people from my parents, from my grandparents, my high school coaches that poured a lot into me. And, I find it my duty or responsibility to try to give back, all the time, whatever I can. In the most positive ways possible.
I've stated a lot of times since you and I met, and I've had several of your games, that your intensity and passion reminds me a lot of Dabo Swinney in his early tenure at Clemson, in the fearlessness, kind of the fearless way that you believe what can be achieved in your program.
Yep.
This love them first philosophy.
Yep.
Can build a title contender. What do you say to that comparison?
I have a lot of respect for Coach Swinney and that program, and I truly believe that we're on the verge of greatness here. And just the way our players vibe with each other, the way our coaches vibe with each other, coaches vibe with players, and vice versa. You can't fake that. And then you go through, the first line in our policy manual. I've been a lot of places, Marty, where you go through the preseason and the head coach reads a policy manual. Here's your responsibility as assistant coach. Here's responsibility for the players. Here's responsibility for every single member of the coaching staff or the support staff. And I always sat back when I finally got my chance to be a head coach at Temple. I need to define what my responsibility is. What is the head coach's responsibility in this program to lead this program in the right direction? And I thought long and hard, and if you read it, I actually have it here on my surface right here. My first job as the head football coach at Georgia Tech is to love my players and to do everything I can to make sure they're successful spiritually, academically, athletically, socially. All of those things matter. And every single decision that we make comes from that perspective. It doesn't mean that it's always sunshine and rainbows. There's some tough love too, and telling people the truth and how they can improve. But every single thing that we do and every decision that we make is for the health, safety, and well-being and love of our guys.
Why?
I just think that's important. In this day and age, relationships matter. How you treat people matter. how you treat every single person that's in the organization, anybody that you come in contact with. If you have that kind of perspective, humility and respect, and you find value in every single person in the organization, find value in every single person that you've come in contact with, that's, I just feel that's the right way to be and the right way to live. And we try to impart that on our guys and be examples in that manner as well.
Atlanta, the ATL 404 Waffle House Varsity, you've immersed yourself so deeply in the authentic Atlanta experience. How much of that is reconnecting the program with the city, and how much of that is this sort of youthful pride in your hometown?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I just think that I am a part of this city. I was born here. I was raised here. I'm a product of Atlanta. I'm a product of Georgia high school football coaching. I have such a tremendous amount of respect for everyone that's in the city and everything that's about it. And, you know, all the things. So we've had a full month of recruiting. And, Marty, it has been wild. There's been 600 to 1,000 elite recruits come through our campus all day, every day for the last month. The dead period is today. And the things that I get to do today on my off day with my wife and my daughter is awesome. I mean, I'm going to go to the Luminarium that's right there on the Beltline. My daughter's going to a dance class right now. My wife's taking her. All the things that we can do in this great city that you can't do anyplace else. The Hawks played downtown Atlanta last night. It is a special place. But as a I've been here two other times as an assistant coach at Georgia Tech. And for a long time, Georgia Tech was just this elite academic institution and take a tremendous amount of pride in it, as I do still. But it was never really connected into the city we're blessed to be a part of. And that's just the nature of who I am and how I envision this place, because a lot of people really love the vibe and the culture there is Atlanta. And you combine that with one of the top four academic schools in the country, it's awesome.
What's been the response?
It's been really good. I mean, we've been doing a great job on the recruiting trail. You know, the biggest piece too, Marty, is it's genuine. I learned a long time ago, anytime that you try to front or put on, you know, airs or try to pretend to be something you're not, that's not trustworthy. And the second any recruit or any player feels that they can't trust you, then their development isn't going to be as high as it can be. So everything that we put on social, everything that we promote, that who we are, is genuine. And, you know, we have a lot of fun. We work really, really hard, but that's what it is.
There is no greater value than trust.
Yep.
No more impactful value than trust. How do you take a young man and bring him into the program and build that?
Yeah, so we've over the last 2 years have developed a really strong culture. And if you come into, you know, you're around our guys, you're around our program, you're around our coaches, it's Marty, you've experienced it. It's palpable.
Yep, it is.
You can feel it, you can taste it. It is real. And, you know, those kind of things matter. We have two signs in our staff meeting room. I hate that you weren't able to be in there and get to see it. But when you're in our staff meeting room, I'm meeting with all the coaches, all the support staff, everybody, the strength staff, recruiting staff. There are two signs as you leave the meeting room. One says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We have some unbelievable coaches with great knowledge and experience and all those kind of things. But if the player doesn't know that you genuinely care about them and genuinely care about their success, all that you know and all the experiences and all the knowledge that you have is going to be limited in what you can impart on them. But the second they know that they can trust you, the second they know that you love them, the second they know that you have their best interest at heart, and that is a process over time, then their development is going to be through the roof. The other sign, Marty, and this is also in the College Football Hall of Fame, Bobby Dodd, either love your players or get out of coaching. So those are the two signs our coaches see every single day as they leave our staff meeting room and go and interact with our guys.
In this era, especially where we're going in college football with name, image, likeness, that's going to become an integral part of trust in collegiate athletics. What's your perspective on what's coming and how that's going to impact the game?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest pieces is we've always been trying to be at the forefront of that, trying to promote our guys, trying to make sure that their social media handles are prominent, we post them on social media, we retweet, we like all their things. So promoting our players' individual brands matters. The same thing with our coaches. You know, we're one of the few programs that gives full access to the assistant coaches, even our head strength coach. And Marty, we've started calling our head strength coach 2 million views Lou, because every time we post something on social, our head strength coach, man, he goes viral, but it is real. So he had a video the other day, just a speech that he gave to our players that went viral, and then another one went viral. But my favorite parts, Marty, are the ones he posted. One, we've got a leadership group text, and I'm going to pull it up real quick. At 4:52 this morning, he sent a message to our leadership group of how much he loves them, how much he cares about them, how excited and passionate he is to get to work with them today. And that's not on social. That's not something that's going to be shared to the world, but it is real and it is genuine. So in those times that he does go viral with his awesome messages, the guys know it's real and it's not for clout, and we're not chasing that. We're trying to impact these guys' lives every single day with how we connect with them and how we do what we do.
You know, one thing that's interesting about your program, and there's, you know, there's intense dudes all over the college football landscape, but between you and him and Thacker, I mean, the lid must be about to blow off that joint all day, every day.
And then you talk about Tashard Choice, who is absolutely amazing, our running backs coach, and then you just go name for name on our coaching staff that is a dynamic, impactful person in our community, in our program. And the cool thing too, Martin, you've seen it, is we don't try to micromanage the personalities within our program. We let our guys be who they are. We don't try to put them in a box. We don't try to make them be X, Y, and Z. I hired them for a reason, to be who they are and to impact our players from where they're coming from. Tashard Choice from the south side of Atlanta, he brings that to work every single day in every interaction that he does. Dave Patnode, our offense coordinator, is a New England guy, but he gets to be him, and it vibes the right way, and it mixes in a really positive manner. So this thing's about to be really good, Marty.
So, I believe it, and I've said it for a long time now, ever since I've been down there and around your program and around your kids and your coaches and the energy, that it's coming. I have no doubt about that. Now, I am intrigued from your perspective. Describe as best and as fairly as you can the challenge you faced when you walked in the door at Georgia Tech.
It is different. You know, that question comes up a lot. And anything that I say, I don't ever want it to be taken as a lack of respect.
Certainly.
Coach Johnson, the previous.
Certainly.
It's just a different style of offense, a different style in running the program. By no means does that make it wrong, or it's just a different way. So we've had to transition the roster away from a triple option roster. We were blessed to have some unbelievable young men in our program, and just they've helped us lay the foundation for what's about to come. And I'm still really close with all those guys that were the small senior class 2 years ago, the small senior class last year. Just so much respect for how they've helped us build the program. But just the body types, the strength gains, the vibe that's in our program, it's taken a while to get exactly where we needed to be, like we had it at Temple, because we had that thing, Marty, rolling. And, you know, so it's an exciting time right now.
Yeah, I'll get to Temple in a minute. I do want to walk kind of down the path to now, because it's an interesting one. So let's just start at Rockdale High, all right, out in Conyers. Yep. How did growing up outside Atlanta shape you?
Yeah, I mean, I was born and raised right in DeKalb County, Decatur, raised on Columbia Drive, and then went to high school out in Conyers. And just I had some unbelievable coaches. Jeff Beggs was the head football coach, and how he poured into my life and made an example for how to live. Believed in me, saw something special in me, which I carry to this day. And then Andrew Thacker's stepdad, Bruce Miller, was my head track coach, was one of the offensive coaches as well. And then he went on to be the head coach of Gainesville High School, win a state championship. So I was blessed to have some great people that poured a lot into me.
So belief, you and I are, we're like-minded and kindred spirits in a lot of ways. I feel like people that believe in you along the path infuse you with a brand of confidence that may even be subconscious.
Yep.
You may not even know it, but it has such a dynamic impact. What is the power of a leader's belief in you?
Yeah, I think that's huge. And a parent's belief in you.
A parent too, yeah.
How much my parents believed in me, how much my grandparents believed in me, my high school coaches, my college coaches. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things that we try to do in our program is find the gold that's within each one of our guys. It's easy to dig and find the dirt. Or you can find the dirt all day, every day if you want to. But to really dig deep and find the gold that's in there in every single young man that we're blessed to coach, that's where the difference is made. And find those things and find the things that are special. See greatness in every one of our guys. And it's got to be genuine. It's got to be real. It can't just be blowing smoke or whatever. It's got to be a deep dig into finding what they can be, seeing what they can be, and then help communicate that with them and see greatness within them.
So you leave Conyers and you go to Catamount Country, Western Carolina University. What kind of player were you?
Well, I'll tell you real quick, Martin, I hate telling this story, but I was a walk-on corner. Okay, walked on to Western Carolina University. They gave me number 92, Marty. So awesome. That'll tell you right off the bat what they called me. I was number 90. I still remember, Marty, my very first college football game. I made the travel roster. I started on every special teams as a true freshman. And I'm in pregame warmups doing DB drills. And the Eastern Kentucky student body was clowning me for 40 minutes about rocking that number 92 and playing DB. But I started on every special team. There were only two guys that didn't get redshirt out of my class. And I was one of them, was awarded a scholarship right after the season. I got single digit number 5 right after the season and became a 3-year starter. Doesn't mean I was any good, but every single year they tried to out-recruit me, Marty. And I would just put on another 15 pounds and move positions. They tried to out-recruit me again. I just gained another 10 to 15 pounds and move positions and found a way to get, I think, close to 200 tackles in my career. And one of my favorite memories is upon graduation, I thought about coaching but wasn't sure. And Steve Hodgson, my head football coach, as I'm walking across the stage or the after party, puts his hand on mine and said, "Jeff, whenever you want to coach, you've got a spot on our staff." I didn't know how impactful that was, but he just said, "You will be a great coach if you decide to go down that path." I will never forget that moment. He was unbelievable to me, and I guess he was somewhat correct, and that was my calling.
How does the walk-on mentality live in you every day?
It's every day. We got to fight for every single thing that we get.
Damn right.
You walk into our facility, Marty, and on every entrance to every door that our coaches and our players walk into, it says, "This is an entitlement-free program. Every single thing is earned." So I had to earn every single thing that I got. I had to earn every single thing when I was a graduate assistant, to being off the field as a director of player personnel for Chan Gailey and for Nick Saban, to fight my way to get to where I'm at. And I carry that with me every single day. And it's just part of the process and part of our DNA, just to get better and compete every single day and always have a chip on your shoulder and always have an underdog mentality.
So that leads me to my next question. As I was looking through, kind of studying before this, looking through your resume from graduation to around 2010 is like kind of like throwing a super ball in a shoebox. I mean, dude, you bounced around all over creation and did it in a hurry. I mean, you're DC over here, you're tight end coach over there, you're player personnel director over here. What was your philosophy towards professional growth and ascension?
Yeah, so the very first thing is be where you're at and be great at where you're at. Don't always be chasing the other job, even though it's going to happen and we're going to make moves and transitions, but be the absolute best that you can be at every single spot that you are. I was a Division III defensive coordinator, Marty, for 2 years. Those were two of my first jobs. And I approached every single day like everybody in the world was watching. And, you know, I've just carried that mentality and those relationships all the way through. And I'm so blessed and thankful for my wife, Jennifer, to have the compassion, understanding, and belief in me that, you know, we're going to make these moves. And it's tough on families now. It's easy for coaches. We make a lot of moves and we just change offices and we hit the ground running. But then she's got to pick up all the pieces and do all the moving and, you know, keep it all together. She's done an amazing job for me and for our family and for all of this. So just want to make sure I always, when I get a chance, you know, show gratitude to her. And that's her in the background. Beautiful Jennifer. And that's her right there too. But just had to do it, you know, make an impact and make a move and have a belief of where we want to be the head football coach at Georgia Tech. And I'm here, man.
I'm the same way about Laney. I don't think you can really be fully immersed in excellence professionally unless your spouse is fully immersed in championing your excellence.
Yep.
And I've had that blessing for more than 21 years now with Laney, and I wouldn't be able to have this life if she didn't champion all of it. It's like being gone, right? Like as a media person, we're gone.
Sure.
Like I'm covering your game and then I'm going to the this, that all in a row. And because my spouse is invested, my kids are invested without even knowing they're invested.
Yeah.
And so all that is beautiful. And so with all that diversity in your resume, my wife just came in. She's like shaking her head. She's like, hell yeah, that's right. With all that diversity in your resume, I wonder how does having held all those different positions on a staff impact your perspective on those positions now that you're at the top of the program?
There's absolutely no doubt. Now, when you're going through it, you don't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a part of the process you're going through trying to get to where you're going. But as I look back on it, there's so many experiences that if I had just been an assistant coach and gone from linebackers coach to DB coach to defensive coordinator, then a head job, you don't really know and have a global perspective of all that you have to do. Now, I do think some of the people in operations and in recruiting and in the branding wish I didn't have those experiences. I'm knee deep with them all the time, probably more than any other head coach. But one of my best experiences or two best experiences were with Chan Gailey and Nick Saban when I was director of player personnel. It Why? Was like getting a PhD in how to be a head coach. I was with Coach Saban all day, every day for an entire year and got access to him in ways that other assistant coaches just never get to, and just hear the how to manage a roster, why decisions are made for X, Y, and Z. And with him building the program, the first year, I think we went 7-6, but we signed the number one recruiting class in the history of the game. And I got to see the process and hear the process and live it in a way that a lot of assistant coaches just don't have access to. And so even though at the time it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to be doing, because I wanted to be on that grass coaching, Marty. But when you look back on it, those 2 years were some of the most impactful years of my career.
I'll go deeper. What'd you learn? I want to know what you learned from him.
I mean, how to manage a roster, how to interact with coaches, how decisions and the level and the depth of thought that you have to go through to make certain decisions that are critical while you build a program, as you develop the roster, all of those things that as assistant coaches, you just think happen in a vacuum. But there is deep, deep thought that has to go into every decision, how it affects. I mean, there's close to 200 people in our organization, Marty, and every single decision that we make affects every player, affects every coach, affects every staff member. And you've got to look at it from a global perspective for the best parts of the program and then for every individual as well.
So as somebody who knows him and has learned under his tutelage, when now in 2021, when you look at the body of work that Coach Saban has produced, yeah. How, especially in a time when there's so much parity across college football,
yeah.
How do you define what he's doing?
Yeah, I just think it's just his commitment to his process and the commitment for every single day chasing greatness in every single phase and every single day improving his process. And I still think, and I haven't been inside the inner workings of the program in a while, but I would imagine just similar to us, every single day you learn a better way to do it and make it more efficient, make it more cost effective, make bigger impacts as you go. And I think that's the fun of it. You know, we have our processes, we have the things that we do, but there's a constant search to do it better every single day, every single week, every single year.
I want to dive into a couple of other guys under whom you coached and the impact, maybe what you took away from them. You've told me in the past how impactful Coach O'Leary was. George O'Leary, what's his impact on your life?
I mean, he took a chance on me, you know, from a Division III defensive coordinator to a graduate assistant, to then elevating me to be the tight ends coach under Billy O'Brien, who was the offense coordinator that year. And just the attention to detail, the overturning every stone, the finding a better way, making sure every single detail was accounted for at all times, it made an impact in me. And, you know, those kind of things I've carried over, and much to the chagrin of our graduate assistants, just the level of detail and accountability on every single level is what I took from him.
Dan Mullen.
Just the how to take developmental guys and then maximize every single thing, you know, in their life and on the football field. And it comes from the Urban Meyer tree and the developmental piece, making a roster tough and physical and all of those things. And, you know, those were some great experiences. We ended up being the number one team in the country my last year there with him and had a tremendous run.
Jim McElwain.
The best thing I learned from Mac, and he's a dear friend to this day, I was texting him this past week, is to be yourself.
How hard is that to do, Coach? It's easy to say. It ain't easy to do sometimes.
There's no doubt because, you know, before I worked for Jim McElwain, if I had gotten a head coach out of Mississippi State, if I'd gotten a head coaching job out of Mississippi State, not having experienced Jim McElwain, I would have tried to be a combination of George O'Leary, Dan Mullen, and Nick Saban. And it wouldn't have worked, right? Because I'm not them. But I can take all the great things that all of them have imparted on me and then just cut it loose and be myself. And I think I think everybody who watches us and sees our program or even at Temple, we've done that. And just the level of energy, the personality, all of those things, it has to be true to who you are. You can still have the same recruiting processes, which we do, that Nick Saban had. We can still do the same off-season programs that Urban Meyer and Dan Mullen do. We do those things. You can still have unbelievable attention to detail like Coach O'Leary, and we do. But if your personality is not coming out and who you truly are is not coming out, you're going to fail. And so we try to make sure that everything is true to who we are. And that's how it is. It's not easy to do, Marty, but we've tried to do it very, very, very well.
I love that. And you have done it very well. And you're so right. I feel like when you reach a place as a man, by the way, I'm getting you out of here. You've already given me 30 minutes. I got one more question that I really want your perspective on, but I want to say this to you. When, as a man, most of us are insecure, right? Sure. And so when you get to a place where you're living free, and you truly are authentic and comfortable in your skin, then you become Teflon in a lot of ways to outside criticisms. And that, unfortunately, that's one thing that drives so many of us is what some other jackass who we're never going to meet thinks. And so it's just such a freeing way to be.
Yeah.
So I love that perspective from you. All right, last thing. So you follow Matt Rhule at Temple, first head coaching job, and you've known him all the way back to Albright, yep. Right? So I wonder, when you get to the head coach level, what comes with being head coach Jeff Collins that a man can't know until he is the head coach?
Well, one of the biggest things is you don't know the amount of time people need and the amount of decisions that come across the desk all day, every day. And it's one of those things that you're not prepared for. I'm used to game plan defense and putting together these defensive schemes and getting the guys fired up and let's go shut people down. And then you start the day. The second people know that you're the head coach and you're in the office, the line, if you let it, could just continue for the entire day. Like, I have some of the assistants that I have conversations with, and the line will form out the door. And they're just like, I'm glad you're doing this. but it's I have a lot of fun with it. I think it goes back to Coach Saban and his level of time management and having a process and exactly what time he's going to do things and a lot for certain things. You've got to have that, and you've got to have that perspective as a head coach and set aside those times.
So is your whole day mapped out every day? Like, is it?
Yes, and we try to do it as well. But the second any of our players call, text, or walk by, I'm shutting whatever it is down. And everybody in the organization knows that. If I get a FaceTime from one of my guys while I'm in a meeting with the recruit, I'm taking that FaceTime. So our players in our organization always go first. And, you know, the time management piece is critical. But I do want to go back, Marty, to the point you were making earlier about keeping a positive mindset when there's a lot of people, when you are trying to live a genuine life, try to pull at you. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped me is the books that I read, the things that I follow on social. So obviously your book has been a blessing to me. I'm reading Chris Bosch's book. I'm reading PJ Fleck's new book. And those things, as you're going through it, give you perspective and give you confidence to stick with what you're doing. You know, because PJ Fleck, he had some times that could cause doubt when he was at Western Michigan or even when he was at Minnesota. And everybody's wanting to take shots, but the belief system and what you're doing and how you're doing it and the vision for the end result, if you stay true to that, it's going to happen. There's no timetable of when it's going to happen. You just know it's going to happen. And that's the belief system that we have and our assistant coaches have and our players have, that we don't know how long it's going to take. Everybody wants it to be sooner than later. So do we. But it's a process and a belief system that's going to work. And those that perspective and that attitude has to prevail every single day to make a difference. And that's what we're trying to do, man.
I love that indomitable will. Man, it's inspiring, and I love what you're doing down there. I always appreciate your perspective and time and sending me texts that I'm doing something right, and I can't wait to see you real soon. Thank you for giving us so much time. I know you're busy, and I mean, first day of the dead period, and you get up and talk to me. So I appreciate you. Have an awesome day. Holler if you need me, and we'll see you real soon, brother.
And come take a deep dive, Marty, during preseason camp, man. Come spend the day with us, whatever you want, all access in the staff meetings, in the team meetings, in our players meetings, in practice, just to get the full experience of why this thing is being built to do some great things, man.
Appreciate you, brother. You're good. Have an awesome day. Be well. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother.
Travis, I'll tell you, when I met him, I was – it's just completely taken aback at what we were just talking about right there. That self-confidence to be exactly who you are, exactly where you are, and that gives you all of this perspective on why you are. And Coach Collins is this unbelievable meld of all of that he really inspired me. And again, as I just said to him there during our conversation, when I met him and I saw what was going on in Atlanta, when you get a kid like Jeff Sims to flip and come over to Georgia Tech, when you got a guy in the backfield named Jahmyr Gibbs, who is preseason all conference at running back in the Atlantic Coast Conference, they got some dudes. And I saw too, you heard Coach there talking about what they're doing in recruiting. I saw that Rivals.com said they are recruiting at a level that is unprecedented in the history of Rivals.com at Georgia Tech. And so it's that spirit that that man has. It's that love them first philosophy that, like he just told us right there, if I get a FaceTime or a phone call from one of my current players, everything else stops. And you know what we want in this life is belonging. We want belonging. We want to feel like we're part of something. And that's what they're getting down there in the 404 with Jeff Collins.
And you think about it. Some people at first might be, well, you need to spend time with that recruit. Well, that recruit's seeing, if I come here, this is who I'm going to have as my coach. And he'd be the same coach no matter where he's at. But when you're recruiting and you're from that area and you can tell the person, like, I know this area, I'm from here. Like, it just, it adds on. And then, like, you was talking about, they've always been about personal brand, and, you know, they were doing a red carpet for the entrance for the players. Like, this is a program, and it's located where, I mean, a stone's throw from every big name recruit there is.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about talent rich. I mean, Georgia right now has an embarrassment of riches at the high school level with the talent that's coming out of that state. And Atlanta is the epicenter of that state. So if I'm some ACC teams, I'm a little nervous about it. If I'm Kirby Smart and the boys down in Athens, I'm a little bit nervous about it because it's special.
I mean, I'm nervous if I'm any SEC school because, you know, Bama, they're going to get their guys, but.
And so is Georgia. I mean, obviously they're recruiting at an elite level too. So is Clemson, all those schools around there, but
it just makes it harder. There's just one more player at the table.
There's an energy there that I've felt very few places. And we've seen what Dabo's built in Clemson. And when Dabo was hired and he comes in with all these sayings and all of this, you know, just indomitable self-confidence that is born from knowing exactly who you are. That's a hard thing to beat.
Well, and plus, if you build your program on just the pizzazz of photos and trying to woo the recruits, but you don't have the foundation of love and trust, the kids are going to see right through it. And if the players are there when recruits come through, they're going to tell them, they're going to be honest with them. Like, hey, it ain't. Like, you have to have that foundation, and that's what Jeff Collins brings.
It's so interesting. I mean, the path is so interesting to me, too, with all the different positions he's held. And that was one of the number one questions I wanted to ask him, which the next time I do sidelines at a Georgia Tech game, I'm going to use what he said. It's that he has held so many different positions and bounced around to so many different places with unique personalities at the top, whether that's Dan Mullen, Jim McElwain, Coach Saban, Coach O'Leary, all these people that have formed him and kind of formed his philosophical approach, but he's held so many different positions. I mean, being the player personnel director is a very different job than being the linebacker coach. And so it's just, he's a really unique personality. I'm grateful for his time. Awesome job getting him. And I built a relationship with him already that, I mean, he'll send me texts out of the – I mean, there's a couple guys that do this, man. Coach Collins does it, and Buzz Williams does it down at Texas A&M, their basketball coach. They will send these texts that are – they're not like very long, but they're very dynamic. The words are so important in loving other people, in being where your feet are, in – cultivating the person that you want to be the right ways, in never forgetting your roots, all of the things that I care so much about, those guys live it. And they infuse me with a lot of confidence that I'm doing it the right way. And so I'm grateful for him.
That interview, you know, we're always jonesing for college football, but that really got me going. And, you know, also, credit to him. He talked about the dead period. This past month of June has been the craziest month of recruiting in the history of recruiting, because you had the dead period for so long because of COVID, and they finally were able to get recruits on campus. And you want to talk about a chaotic schedule. You know, obviously I follow Ohio State's, and every school is basically the same thing. The amount of recruits that he's had coming through. And then on the dead period at 9 a.m., he fires up the Zoom to do this. You know, can't thank him and Georgia Tech enough.
Really appreciate everybody involved, Mike Flynn and Andrew and everybody in their public relations, sports information department. We really appreciate you guys doing that. And Coach Collins taking 35 minutes on the first day where he can actually be a dad and a husband to ramble on with me. I appreciate it. You're so right. Like, it gets me so – I'm so excited about this season because I can't – he, like, right now, Coach Collins is sending me all these texts right now. You might be able to hear my phone buzzing.
I can hear it.
But it's going to be a season unlike any we've ever had. There's going to be so much energy and so much appreciation for the opportunity to be together, dozens of thousands of us in the same place at the same time, pulling in the same direction with the same energy, no matter who the hell we're cheering for. And man, it's going to be awesome.
Now, before we go, you're back in Jersey, and you're Jersey City. There's a few tweets this week, and I need an update on how the pickleball game is going.
Pickleball's on time. I'm honing my skill. I'm getting it back. I've played several times now. There's a difference this year, man. This year used to be you showed up, you put your pad like pickup basketball. You show up, and I got next. And there was a line of pickleball paddles all the way down the court because you mark your place with your paddle. Well, not anymore. Now the Ocean City Recreation Department has decided it would be a good idea to, you have to sign up online. You have to register online. You got to pay $60 for a season pass. And then you got to schedule your time at the court. It's not good. We're not big fans of this.
Yeah, you just want to be able to show up kind of like a go to the bar and the pool table. You put your quarters down and, exactly. You got next game.
Exactly. And so my coffee's ready. And so it's we're not huge fans of that, but I'll tell you, the community is awesome. It's awesome because you can be playing against a mid-70s lady and think that you go, oh, I got this. And she will absolutely mop the floor with you. They are so good and so fun, and it's an awesome community, and the camaraderie is wonderful, and we all laugh together and have a great time competing, and I just love everything about it. I was thinking about playing this morning, but then we booked this. It was worth it.
Your pickleball game is going to have to wait for Coach Collins.
All right, I want to hop to last week just real quick. Of course, we had Deion Sanders on. I have heard so much from you guys about that interview with Coach Prime and the lessons within it about, being about fatherhood. I don't have to be perfect. I have to be present. About being where your feet are and being grateful for where your feet are and the evolution as a man. The response to that was overwhelming. And I am so grateful that you guys took the time to listen. Thank you so much. But Travis, what really blew my mind was I start getting these texts from some of my buddies, and they follow Deion on social media. And so on his Instagram story, he takes this photo of us during the interview, and he said, I love this dude so much for so many reasons. Talking about me. He copied me on the, tagged me on the post. Little Martin in Parisburg never in a trillion years would have believed it. And it's just another one of those things that I wish I could be like, Dad, look at this, man. You kidding me? This is the greatest of all. How many people can say they are the greatest that ever did their job? Not many. He can. Crazy, dude.
I always
you and me, got to go down to Jackson State, man. We got to go down there.
We need a road trip and then maybe make a stop at the 404.
Yep, stop in the ATL. Stop in Jackson, Mississippi. Maybe make our way down to Baton Rouge. See our boys down there. Be a good time. But great job getting Coach Collins. Thanks so much to Jeff and to the staff again for doing that. Filled up my tank, man. Just gives such awesome perspective on just trying to be a good man. And him shouting out my book, Never Settle, I appreciate it so much. He's been so kind to me about that work and the way that I wrote it since we met. He knew about the book before we ever met. Anyway, I'll shut up now. Thank you all for listening so much. Thank you so much to our law enforcement officials all over the country working hard to keep the community safe. So, so appreciative of what our firemen and first responders do. every single day. And the United States military, thank you so much for your service to our nation. We are so appreciative. We get to live in the greatest country in the world, and we get to be free. Got Independence Day coming up, man. July 4th is my favorite day of the year.
Beautiful day.
I can't wait. Next week, we'll have to talk about the Natty Light Can. We could have a whole podcast about that Natty Light Can.
I think we can talk a lot about Natty Light and beer.
I mean, dude, it has eagles on it. It has the stars and stripes on it. I mean, it's as America as it gets.
Have you seen the Busch Light Can? We'll add that to the list of things. The All corn right. can? Oh, love it.
Next week, post July, it'll be right after July 4th. We'll talk about what cans y'all got, America edition. All right. Love y'all. Be good. Thank you for listening. This is Marty Smith's America. We'll see you next time around.